Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Question: what do dogs, tools, and a local radio station all have in common? The answer? They all offer opportunities for seniors to give back to their communities as volunteers. From three recent issues of 55 Plus magazine, I bring you Bonnie Kelly, Raising Puppies for the Blind, from the July and August 2018 issue, Frank Grant and Frank Jug, manning a tool thrift shop, from the September-October 2018 issue, and from November-December 2017, Phil Dodd and Kim Corcoran, volunteer disc jockeys. So we'll begin with Implementing Usefulness, Tool Thrift Shop, an Instrument to Aid Community, Offer Volunteer Opportunities, by Christine Green. If you walk into the tool thrift shop at the Fairport Village Landing in Fairport looking for a bargain on some hardware, you just might be lucky enough to see the Frank and Frank Show. Witty banter, funny jokes, and quite a few giggles come with the show, and you'll be tempted to join in the fun while browsing through used tools. Frank Grant and Frank Jug man the counter, organize inventory, and generally create a convivial, friendly air about the place. Grant and Jug are just two of the more than 40 volunteers that help make the Tool Thrift Shop the success that it has been for almost 8 years. Senior Options for Independence is the outreach arm of Fairport Baptist Homes that helps seniors age in place and live independently in the Fairport-Penfield community. SOFI provides help with everything from navigating insurance options to transportation. It also connects seniors with many of the services available to them around the county. Several years ago, Ellen O'Connor, former Director of Community Services at Fairport Baptist Home, SOFI, was looking for ways to help enhance the services they offer. The SOFI team was well aware that the need for our services was going to increase, and funding was not, just because the change in demographics around the world. We were concerned with how do we raise more revenue, she said. O'Connor knew that Craft Bits and Pieces, a local used crafts and home goods store, donated its profits to SOFI. Well, what if it could open a similar store but sell tools instead of craft items? O'Connor consulted with John Garrett of Penfield, who was eager to help SOFI by assisting seniors who needed to make their homes easier to live in. Together, they formed a steering committee, and by November of 2010, the doors of the tool thrift shop were open to the public. The grand opening took place January 2011. At the time, Garrett wasn't exactly sure what the future would look like. We were wondering if we would last past a year, he said. But he needn't have worried. Since 2011, revenue and popularity have grown exponentially. To date, the SOFI program has received $405,000 from the Tool Thrift Shop. The program is also good for the environment, as it helps keep countless items out of landfills by recycling what does not sell. As of 2018, it had recycled 105,961 pounds of metal and received $16,538 in revenue from scrap recycling. The store's success has inspired volunteers in Albany and Utica to open similar stores using the Tool Thrift Shop model. Sense of purpose. Volunteers like Jug and Grant have found a home away from home at the Tool Thrift Shop. Bill Evans of Fairport, a dispatcher at the Rochester 9/11 Center, first came to the shop as a customer, but soon realized that he could help his community by volunteering. Today, he is a store manager and member of the management team, and said the Tool Thrift Shop is an awesome place to be, and it's a community within itself. It provides a means of recreation and enjoyment and a purpose for many senior citizens. Garrett agrees that this sense of purpose is vital for people when they retire. He said volunteering in a friendly place like the Tool Thrift Shop can help those searching for direction after retirement. He said it's important for seniors to develop a strong purpose in life to keep you going. It's not only good for the individual, but good for the community. And that's a large part of what we're about, giving people a sense of purpose as well as giving back to the community. Store manager Bill Karpinski of Fairport also noted the shop volunteers enjoy a family-like atmosphere that keeps them coming back time and again. The Tool Thrift Shop is different because one of the two goals in setting it up was to provide an opportunity for the retired members of our community to give back in a way that they enjoy and that makes use of their professional and hobby skills and knowledge in a collegial environment, he said. Of course, the fact that the Tool Thrift Shop supports SOFI also makes the work the volunteers do that much more important to them. Garrett's spouse and current volunteer coordinator at the shop, Jean Garrett, truly enjoys knowing that the work she and her volunteers do is helping others right in their own community. It gives deep pleasure to give back to a caring organization that has done so much for our loved ones. SOFI staff assisted my parents when they moved out of their home in their 90s and recently helped my 102-year-old dad qualify for insurance benefits, she said. Well-loved tools. Tools have a very emotional component to them, said O'Connor. When someone is donating tools after a loved one passes or because they themselves are no longer able to use them, they want them to go to a good home, like the Tool Thrift Shop. These were items that crafted memories and sometimes were vital to the livelihoods of the people that used them. John Garrett often picks up donated items from the shop and knows that giving away old tools and hardware can be very emotional. These people are giving us their memories as well as their products. That is huge, especially for widows or widowers. We see the tears, and some of us join in on those tears, he said. The Tool Thrift Shop recently moved to a larger space in Fairport Village Landing, and on September 7th had a grand reopening. For information on shop hours or how to donate or how to volunteer, you can visit toolthriftshop.org. And now going on to Bonnie Kelly, changing lives one dog at a time. Retired Victor resident busy raising puppies for nonprofit Guiding Eyes for the Blind by Melody Burry. At 75, you would think Bonnie Kelly might want to kick back in a recliner and relax in her well-deserved retirement. Well, you'd be wrong. The energetic, age-defying Victor resident is happiest when she's hiking down the back roads of her hometown with a large German Shepherd or Labrador Retriever or both at her side. Kelly is a puppy raiser for Guiding Eyes for the Blind, a New York-based nonprofit organization that breeds, raises, and trains dogs for people who are blind or visually impaired. She has been at it solidly for the last 13 years, since before she retired. As a volunteer, Kelly raises a pup from 8 weeks old, teaches him or her how to be comfortable, mannerly, and unflappable in every situation. Then, about 1 year later, just about the time she has fallen madly in love, her fully socialized charge goes off for training at Guiding Eyes for the Blind to become a guide dog. Apparently, Kelly loves her foster role because she has raised a baker's dozen of the pups so far. Cora is number 13, said Kelly, as she oversees canine playtime in her spacious backyard. 7 have been labs and 6 have been shepherds, so I have to do one more just to make it even, right? Jake Milton Urey, Nick Susie Hadley Pride, Joy Klinger Rasha, Cotton Luna, and Cora. They have all got a place in her heart and space on her family room wall, where photos and graduation certificates bear witness to 13 jobs well done and 12 lives changed. The 13th will come when Cora graduates and is matched with her future partner. The benefits of puppy raising are many, Kelly said. Part of our job is to get the dogs exposed to as many things as possible, she said. So that causes me to go out and do something I probably wouldn't necessarily do. She is also required to walk the dogs a couple of miles a day, which is wonderful exercise. This winter was not good, but when it's too cold, I go to the mall and do a mall walk, she said. It gets me out and going. Kelly also volunteers at the Granger Homestead in Canandaigua 2 days a week, not as much for herself as for her pups. It's only a total of 10 hours a week, but it's good exposure for the dogs, she said. People are coming into the gift shop, and the dogs are laying there and behaving themselves. They're not jumping up to greet somebody. Sometimes it's very quiet, and other times you've got a busload of people coming into the gift shop. It's just really good training. As it turned out, one of her charges, Nick, actually had an ear for music. We have a CD that's from a woman who played the Clementi pianoforte at the Granger, and I have found that that's very relaxing to the dog, said Kelly. In fact, she went so far as to pass along a copy of the CD to Nick's partner when he went into full-time service. Kelly later learned that he responded to it immediately. Nick went to a single mom who's blind and has a teenage son with autism, said Kelly, who keeps up with the partners of each of her former pups. The three are featured in a Guiding Eyes for the Blind brochure, she said, and the son, now in his 20s, is engaged and is a bus driver. That's one of the great things about raising a guide dog. You are opening up a world for a blind person, said Kelly. And sometimes her dogs help restore what has been lost. The person who has Pride, when he was 31, he was in an automobile accident and severed his optic nerve, she said. So he went from full vision to absolutely nothing. It took him 2 years to get back to working. Training takes more than a year. Puppies spend more than a year with their raisers, from 8 weeks old to about 15 or 18 months, said Kelly. During that time, they undergo 2 formal evaluations and learn about 15 commands from their raisers, including sit, down, stay, come, back, close, and the essential, get busy. That's guide dog speak for go outside, do your business, and make it snappy. We get them to the mature age where they're ready for the tough stuff, said Kelly. After that, the dogs go off to school for 6 months of formal training, learning about 50 commands, among other things. Then the new partner comes to the school and spends 3 weeks of intensive training on site with their new guide dog. And finally, a trainer travels with a guide dog and its new partner to their new home, spending up to a week getting the lay of the land and learning commands and skills specific to the environment. Kelly and her pups are well known in Victor and surrounding communities. One is always in tow when she heads to the doctor or dentist, grocery shopping, sporting events, nursing homes, libraries, and public festivals. She likes to take them to restaurants. That way she doesn't have to cook, joked Jim Kelly's husband and partner in puppy raising. Oh, no argument there. Our favorite place to go is Rhineblecks in Canandaigua because they really fuss over the dog, said Kelly. She also takes them with her to church on weekends. To be honest, I had kind of gotten away from church, said Kelly. Jake was 6 months old, and I took him to the East Bloomfield Methodist Church. I walked into the front door, and Bonnie Bidwell walked into the back door with her guide dog. That struck up a friendship with us, and she kept encouraging me. 13 years later, Kelly is still raising dogs and still going to church. Most recently, her eyes are on Klinger, a guide dog and Guiding Eyes' first ever running guide dog she raised a few years back. Klinger has a shot at a national recognition if he's chosen to be American Humane's 2018 American Hero Dog and in turn earn $5,000 for Guiding Eyes for the Blind. Klinger's partner, Richard Hunter of California, is a United States Marine Corps veteran and avid runner. But Hunter started losing his sight in 2089 because of retinitis pigmentosa, the inherited degenerative eye disease. Then in 2014, he was struck by a car while riding his tandem bicycle and airlifted to receive emergency care. Enter Klinger, who has since given Hunter new freedom and the ability to train for and compete in marathons around the country. Kelly, who's proud of all 13 Guiding Eyes for the Blind dogs that she has raised, hopes people will take time to vote for Klinger at http://herodogawards.org/dog/Klinger so that he can advance in the nationwide competition. The first round of voting was open through April 24th, at which time Kelly hoped Klinger would move to the finalist category, and voting will continue through the summer. "I'm proud of the boy," said Kelly. "He's a handsome boy, and he loves the camera." One thing is certain, puppy raising has helped keep her healthy, both emotionally and physically. "I think I would be very bored right now if I didn't have a dog to raise," she said. Here's some more about Guiding Eyes for the Blind. It costs $50,000 to breed, raise, train, and match a guide dog and support the team throughout the lifetime of the dog. GEB creates more than 170 guide dog teams every year, with more than 1,000 teams currently active. Since it was founded in 1954, GEB has graduated over 7,000 guide dog teams. More than 500 pups are born each year. 92% are Labrador Retrievers and 8% German Shepherds. It takes more than 1,400 volunteers to breed, raise, train, match, and support GEB dogs. There is no cost for services to people who are blind or visually impaired, and GEB receives no government funding and operates solely from public support. More information for Guiding Eyes for the Blind, based in Westchester County, visit www.guidingeyes.org. And now, all that jazz. Volunteers of a certain age will make all the difference in the world at Jazz 90.1 by John Addyman. It's the last little slice of real radio that's left. Rob Linton is the station manager of WGMC-FM, Jazz 90.1 in Greece. When he made that statement, he gestured around the room to two of his radio DJs, not radio personalities or on-air talent, but DJs. In verbal shorthand, he also refers to them as voices. The two voices in the room, Phil Dodd, 69, and Kim Corcoran, 61, are part of a group of more than two dozen volunteers who get the work done and the tunes played on Jazz 90.1. Most of the on-air staff is comprised of volunteers, and many of them have attained a certain age and are ready for something else in their lives. "These people don't want to just sit around," Linton said. "Retirees who are used to being active and doing things come to us and say, 'I want to do this. I finally have time.'" And Corcoran is an example. "I'm from the terrified school," she explained. "I was a total volunteer, a total newbie at the age of 61. That's what's so important. When you get to be a certain age, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be learning new things, or at least attempting to. Don't be afraid and don't be terrified. Do it anyway." Dodd started volunteering at the station 22 years ago, working a full week as an office manager for the state and then coming in to man the air chair on weekends. Now retired, he's got a three-hour show 5 days a week. I was always interested in radio, and from the time I was a kid, he said. A big part of my life was listening to the radio. When I went to Binghamton University, I was on the radio for 3 years. After that, while I always had the interest, you couldn't make any money in radio, and you can't do what you want anyway. So I got a full-time job working for the Developmental Disabilities State Operations. I was in charge of the office for the last 22 years, but had nothing to do with radio or music. One day, I was at an event in Rochester, and I talked to the station manager. I asked, "You guys don't really need anybody, do you?" And he said, "We're always looking for people." So a week later, I came in for some training, and a week after that, I was on the air doing a Sunday night program. I remember the first time I was on the air, a couple of hours by myself. I thought, "Whoa, this is great." I always had the interest. In fact, I did my own mixing at home with a little mixing board and two turntables and two CDs, and I made tapes. Linton said that the jazz-only format began in the 1990s and deepened. Now it also airs music that has appeal to those who love jazz but like something different, too. "We're kind of the land of misfit toys here," he said. "We're the one place where a lot of musical genres and don't have a home elsewhere end up. There are fans of avant-garde and Broadway and blues and fusion." Corcoran provides the Broadway fix every Sunday afternoon, a two-hour show she developed from scratch about a year after learning and volunteering in the music library. "I volunteered to be in the music library with music director Derek Lucas for a year. I was so bad at that, putting music away," she confessed. "I said to Derek, 'You know what the station needs? A Broadway show.' And he said, 'Yeah, let me talk to Rob.' A month later, he asked me, 'Did you really mean it?'" Corcoran said, "She was serious, not even knowing what a treadmill this would put me on. Then I had to make a demo thing for Rob, and he said, 'Sure.' I had an hour show for about a year, and then 2 hours, two on the aisle. The station got pumped up to 15,000 watts in 2004 and now reaches a 50-mile radius from Greece Olympia High School, where the station and studios are hosted. The school district holds the license, but the station pays all of its operational costs through fundraising. Having just two full-time employees helps. About 25,000 people listen during the week, with the companion website www.jazz901.org garnering listeners from 15 countries and counting. Making that connection, Linton said the station's voices bring a maturity, enthusiasm, and genuineness to the music and approach. There is a vital connection between DJs and listeners. What's interesting about the folks here is a love or passion for the music and a knowledge that you can't discover in a textbook or a library. These are people who love what they play," he said. "You can't fool radio listeners. They tune into Kim's show on Sunday. I listen to her show, and it's just like she stepped off an airplane this morning after watching a couple of Broadway shows over the weekend. It's that connection with radio listeners that you don't find anymore." She says, "I'll be saving you a seat. I literally feel like she's talking to me, like we're going to see the show. That connection in Phil with jazz, you cannot fake that. Commercial radio is not touchy-feely. It's not connect with listeners. It's how much money can we make? I got here and I'm talking to listeners. We're not trying to make stockholders happy. We're not trying to make a corporate giant happy. I'm here for the people who are listening in their cars. Phil is playing big band music for people who used to dance to that music with their significant other, who may have passed. Kim's playing Broadway music to someone who's as in love with the music as she is. Is Jazz 90.1 still looking for people? Linton said, volunteers are always welcome. The only on-air shifts available at the moment are through the night. And he also stresses the music is broader than jazz might connote to some. Dodd said that the station has gone from smooth jazz artists in the 1990s to straight-ahead jazz of today. Half of the station's music comes from new releases every day, with Lucas pouring through those new CDs and deciding what's okay for the audience. The DJs pick what they want from those releases and choose the rest of their show's tunes out of the library. Always something familiar, always something new. He said that although he does big band music, there are hundreds of new big bands and vocalists. This is a station that doesn't just focus on the deceased artists, said Linton. It's taking the music forward. Some stations only play John Coltrane and Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, and that's great. But we don't want people to think jazz has passed away. It hasn't. Rochester is such a jazz town. We're lucky to have the festival, Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, here. It's pretty incredible. There are people from all over the country and world who would do anything to have 9 days of music like that. As for the station, we have people who have walked in here and never stood in front of a group of people or talked into a microphone before, and before you know it, they're talking to 20,000, 25,000 listeners at a time, said Linton, and it's a little slice of real radio. Well, I love hearing about new ways for seniors to volunteer, and I admire those who give so freely. There wasn't enough time to include it in this program, but I love to hear about people who are fostering kittens. It takes somebody special to be able to feed, sometimes every few hours, and care for those tiny little creatures until they are old enough to be adopted. I love the pictures on Facebook, too. I hope you've enjoyed meeting today's special seniors. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.